Voices of Legacy. This is Pastor Carl here with a special honored guest, kind of a special treat for me because, well, it's family. We don't practice nepotism, but nevertheless, it's great to have my own cousin, a retired police officer here in the great city of Toledo, Ohio, Lucas County, none other than Ova Eugene Tate. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, sir. Great. Glad to have you. I'm so glad that you said yes and you showed up. But we welcome you to the Voices of Legacy here at WGTE. I have a lot of questions, but I kind of want to get you to talk.
Okay. Well, I'll try to answer them.
Yeah. But tell us about yourself.
Well, the basics are, yes, that's my name, Ova Eugene Tate.
Not Gene, but
I
Eugene.
Grew up. Everyone in my family and friends that's not connected with school, if I grew up in church, they called me Gene. Mm-hmm. And if someone calls me Gene, I knew pretty much where they know me from, either family or friends outside of school. Of course, they called me Ova by my first name in school. And when I became, an adult, I wanted to go by my legal name, first name, Ova. And so if someone calls me Ova, then I know, okay, what area they know me from.
Professional.
Yes. Yep, and I'm 68 years old.
You're what?
Yeah, 68, getting...
You're knocking on 70.
Yes. Thank the Lord.
All right. Don't look like it. You know, God, you can't see him, but he doesn't look like it.
God is good. And so experienced life like anyone else. Hmm. And I have, I'm a divorcee and a widower. And my first wife, we divorced my children's mother. And then my second wife, she is deceased.
Yes. And
recently. Yeah. Yes. And so I'm here with life experience. I'm formerly a retired sergeant from the Toledo Police Department and retired from the impound lot. And now I'm currently a pastor also
In Detroit.
In Detroit, Michigan. Awesome. Church Word of Truth Assembly.
All right.
And been pastoring there maybe about 12 years now. But but I've been, I guess, associate or co-pastor there for 24 years under my mother, Pastor Emeritus Olivet Mapson.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, we have a great legacy of pastors in our family.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know.
A whole lot of them.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So in your beginnings when you were in school, what school did you go to in Toledo?
Well, I went to grade school. It was Fulton Elementary. Went to the eighth grade at that time. And then from Maycomber High School, your father went to Maycomber.
Oh, yeah.
And I followed him there. And he did okay, and graduated in 74.
What led you into law enforcement?
I never really wanted to be a police officer. That wasn't a goal of mine. You know, some people want to be a police officer all their life. Actually, our culture frowns on police officers, per se, and I had a chance to become a Ohio patrolman. Some years before I got on the department and was talked out of it by some members of my family. I worked at Greyhound for 11 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yep. And
the old Greyhound.
The old Greyhound. When they had a union and paid a good salary.
I think somebody just acquired Greyhound, at least the brand.
Yeah. They've gone through a lot of transition. Yeah. In the Reagan years, it began to change, and I can see the future as far as employment at Greyhound, and so I started looking around. I put in applications everywhere, in the foundries and different industries, and even fire department, police department, post office, and got on with the police department
in 85. That's awesome. How was your experience with a TPD back in those days?
Well,
because you've been retired for some time, I think.
I've been retired since 2010.
Okay.
And I was on the department for 25 years. Mm-hmm. As I said, I was on the department in 85, right in the mix of the rap game, hip hop era, and dope, crack started coming on scene, probably in Toledo, maybe right around that time.
So things were changing.
Things were changing.
Not for the better.
Not for the better. Society, it was going through some changes, and crack was an epidemic that changed the neighborhoods. From family oriented to that's when you see all the central city neighborhoods began to really plummet.
Yeah, the blight.
Whereas the area where I grew up, you know, was beautiful flowers and green grass everywhere, had ownership rather than renting.
That's right.
And then, so when crack took hold in, say, I would say 87, 88 through 90, in the mid-90s, it was just tore the neighborhoods up. Families were destroyed because of
crack. And it made it hard for your profession?
Yeah, because you're dealing with people that were either selling cocaine or crack cocaine or using crack cocaine. And so... and again, gangs became prominent.
Yes.
And so it was tough. I don't know if it's tougher now than it was then. I don't know if I want to be a police officer. We had more support, though, from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Now, these young guys, I pray for them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd say the respect level is probably
the respect level is the difference now.
Yeah.
Where we as police officers, I never really feared for my life.
Yeah.
Back then, if someone was doing something, they might throw a bottle at your car back then or something like that. But now they are actually shooting at police.
Yeah.
And it's tough now.
Well, being in ministry, I'm sure we have a lot of prayers for our law enforcement as well as the community to have some type of common bond and respect. And I think that's something that should be promoted. That's why even in our ministry, we deal with the Buffalo Soldiers. I was just mentioning Brother Fred Lefevre and Earl Mack and those fellows to go into the communities and have classes, especially for the youth, to help them understand that the police officers do work for us. We pay their salaries, but we have to have a common bond and respect. We need to know who they are. Mm-hmm. They need to know who you are. If you never talk to them, there'll be no relationship. And more than likely, whatever narrative you hear, that's what you're going to believe. Mm-hmm. And that's going to cause you to be inordinately, and I'm going to get off my soapbox because the floor is yours, the suspect, because they don't know who you are. And for them, to you, they'll be the enemy. Mm-hmm. And you don't know who they are.
Right. Well, it's hard. I think we've been the city of Toledo, I should say. I was one of the first officers that was involved in community policing. Mm. That started to take place. I wish I could remember some of the command's names back then because they were really pioneers as far as trying to do community policing. But community policing is tough because I may shake your hand at school and they may have to arrest your parent that night or uncle.
Yeah.
You know, but back then there was more families than there are now. When I mean by families, I'm talking about traditional.
Mother, father, kids.
There's families or people that live in the same homes now, but not necessarily.
Could be grandparent and grandchild raising them as a kid. Or
it could be, gender.
Yeah.
Flexing.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes children are raised by their oldest brother or oldest sister or oldest aunt, whatever. You know, it's a lot different now than it was then. We have quote-unquote crack babies. Mm-hmm. We used to use that term. That's a bad sounding term, but alcohol syndrome children now are adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that creates problems, social problems within itself. When I was a police officer, we had, and it's still active, the African American Patrolman League. Mm-hmm. It used to be called the Afro American Patrolman League, and it was active in the neighborhoods. And in, we adopted Fulton School, as I mentioned before. That's a school I went to. So we adopted Fulton School, and to affect community policing, trying to put on programs, and they're doing a good job now. Flo Wormley, she's retired, but she did a great job of community policing at Woodward High School. Mm-hmm. They adopted Woodward High School and trying to affect young people. You'd be surprised, the young people, that the things they have to go through.
Yes.
The police in their house sometime at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then they get up to go to school, and then so now they may be a problem for the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. And some of them haven't eaten. You know, it's a lot of...
That makes a big difference.
A whole lot of social programs, and then the police become psychiatrists and, you know, psychologists and different things, and along with them dealing with their own personal problems.
Understood. So it seems as though your experience as a police officer kind of transitioned you right into ministry. And were you a police officer at the same time as you were in ministry? It seems like that kind of overlaps a little bit in the timeline.
Yeah, it overlaps. I mean, but in the 90s, I was, you know, I was quote unquote out of the church.
Okay. So there's a sabbatical,
you know,
there.
Yeah, I was raised, you know how we were. We were raised in the church and Sunday school and church and
all day.
That was our culture.
Yeah.
And we weren't necessarily Mormons or so
I don't know. We were close. No makeup.
Yeah. What's the group that's in Pennsylvania?
Amish.
Amish. We weren't Amish.
Yeah, I don't know. All I can say. For those that don't understand what we're laughing about, we believed in something called holiness, and it was no joke.
Yeah, well, and more so than just holiness. We were Pentecostal, apostolic.
Yes.
They're really conservative.
Extremely.
Extremely conservative lifestyle.
Yes.
They let us, you know. And so we went through that. And so.
It sounds like you had a flashback.
Yeah. We grew up in that, and I guess I left for a while. But I thank God, you know.
Foundation.
Gave me a great foundation, even with dealing with people.
Yes.
You know, even though I came from dealing with a very toxic environment of folks, they come from toxic areas, and because of toxicity, very angry.
Mm-hmm. It's infectious.
Yes, infectious.
It really is. Yeah.
And hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Still having in me love for people, and so that didn't mean I didn't have to do my job.
That's right.
But I tried my very best to respect people. You know, and anyway, coming back, the Lord saved me, and that never leaves.
Yeah.
I just had to come to myself, to who I
there
was, you know, as a
prodigal
son.
Yeah.
And around 99, 2000. And so I've been really involved since then, and, you know, taking on pastorship after a while. I still live in Toledo, but church is in Detroit. And so whatever Toledo was, Detroit is about 10 times.
That's true.
To the extreme, to the left of that. Not to the right.
They wear black minks here, and they wear white minks in Detroit.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know, but it's...
With hats.
Right. Okay, but you know, how bad whatever quote-unquote Crips and Bloods were supposedly here, they was in true effect in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Whatever the neighborhoods were like here in Toledo, they're worse than Detroit, you know. Detroit's making a rebound because, you know, big city, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, all those big cities just ravished by crack.
Yes.
You know, like the rural areas being ravished by this
fentanyl.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I won't say awesome, but the story is because it seems as though you came from a particular type of upbringing, kind of escaped from that upbringing, which we have a similar testimony in that, and then came right back to it with more wisdom, more knowledge and understanding. So how has that affected what you do now?
Well, what I do now, it gives me, allows me to have more grace and be less judgmental of people. I try my best not to judge people.
Yeah.
We are judgmental beings, you know. That's why we have a word called prejudice. We prejudge people based on our understanding and what we've heard. So we prejudge, and then, you know, we're quick to see and judge. And so I try not to do that.
Benefit of the doubt is.
That's the word.
Which is really love. It's empathy.
I try to have not being and balance that not with being naive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we want to be a good steward because, Lord, I want to live as long as
You can't be naive. You have to understand. And, well, to answer your question, that's why going through that experience, I think, has given me a good basis, a good foundation as to understand people. You know, the Bible, not to preach, but the Bible said, be watch.
Yes.
As well as pray. And so watch, just observe.
Yeah.
You know, and
it gives you what to pray for sometimes. Well, I don't know if I have any other questions, but I will say this because it was on my mind while you were talking. I remember as a child, your grandmother, my great-grandmother, was my babysitter for a little bit. And I remember my uncles and not so much my aunties, but mostly my uncles and cousins like yourself come to Grandma Sherman's house, my great-grandmother, who's gone on, Luzinia. And I enjoyed just seeing, because I was a little kid, seeing you guys in your uniforms, you being police officer and my other two cousins being in the fire department
forth,
as a child. And we really looked up to you guys. As, you know, you play with your toys, but you got cousins.
Actually saw firemen and police officers.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Good for you. I think if we African-American children need to see models.
Yeah.
Of,
we had a unique family for what you're saying right now.
Right.
As far as our elders.
Right. And especially you did.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of that. My generation, except for your father being an entrepreneur, and your grandfather and grandmother, who were my uncles and aunt, they were entrepreneurs. And so I was able to see that.
Yeah.
But when I was moving into the neighborhood where I lived at over there by Scott High School, still a good neighborhood, but the professionals were beginning to move out.
Yes.
And so I didn't get to see the doctors and the lawyers in our neighborhood because they had begun to leave that particular neighborhood.
That's how my father brought so many tenements over there.
Right, right.
You know, they were dirt cheap.
Right. And so... But it's good to go back to what you're saying, that with the young African Americans and just young people, period, can see somebody that that they can relate to and aspire to be.
Yes.
As I said, I never aspired to be a police officer because to me, the popo, you know, they got a certain reputation.
Yeah.
You know, and again, when I wanted to be when I was approached by a recruiter from the Ohio Patrol. State troopers.
Oh, okay.
I was approached when I turned 21, they came to my house and, you know, wanted to recruit me. Mm-hmm. And when I told some of my relative friends, uncles, oh, you don't want to be there. How can you be a police officer and be safe? Because police are so ruthless. And
oh, my goodness.
You know. That's my.
You can't be a Christ follower and a cop at the same time.
No, because, you know, they do some serious damage to. And I'm going to tell you, police got a bad reputation in the African-American neighborhood. And that's incumbent upon the police to change, not the people.
Well, and it's back to the judgment as well, because even culturally, people have presumptions of who people are based on simply what you look like.
Right.
And that can be based on some truth, but is completely in error.
Well, that's a heavy breath, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
There are good police.
Exactly.
Sometimes police have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Not to pass judgment on people.
That's right.
We are to, our job is to protect and serve, mm-hmm. not to judge and be judge and jury.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes police, because I've been involved in foot chases, but I was involved in a lot of foot chases.
Oh, yeah.
When I was young, as I got older, I let the radio do the chasing, as they say. You know, but when I was young, I jumped fences and run through backyards, dodged dogs. But at the end of the chase, see, the running is the protecting and the serving.
Mm.
Okay. At the end of the chase, sometime police want to mete out a little justice, mm-hmm. you know, and you have to understand that's not your job.
No.
Your job is to apprehend. Now, if they resist, then the Bible, not the Bible, Jesus, the law.
The law, yes, sir.
Allows you to overcome their resistance. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mete out justice.
Yes.
You know, but that happens.
It does.
And we, as a society, for years have winked and nodded at that.
No accountability.
Sort of turned our head. And so we have George Floyd, and you have before that, years before that, you have Rodney King.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that we know about. Mm-hmm. Quick story, and you can take it one way or the other, is my father told me when he was a young man, I was born, and he was a young man, and he was hanging out on the weekend. Anyways, he got in some kind of, doing something he had no business doing, I guess, and the police apprehended him.
Mm.
And he said, can you let me go? Because so-and-so, I got to be to work in the morning. And they, these two officers, white officers, said, okay. And they hit him in the stomach and let him go. Now, he appreciated that. He told,
oh, wow.
Because he knew if he had went to jail, this was on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm. He's not seeing anything until Monday.
He's not seeing anything till Monday, right?
Yeah.
My mother would have been angry at him.
Yeah.
Right? Now this is from a man that was a young man in the 40s and the mm-hmm. 50s, right? Going into the 60s. So that has always been a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Always been, you know,
yeah.
a balance in the, with the community
mm-hmm.
and the police.
Yeah.
Police used to let drunk drivers go. They don't anymore because of policy and procedure.
Yes.
But they used to let drunk drivers go, throw their keys in the grass and tell them to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that might be okay for that instant. But then we had a rise in drunk driving and the seriousness of drunk driving. Now they turn the corner and they arrest drunk drivers.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So police and community has always have had a love-hate, I'm talking about the African-American mm-hmm. community, has always had a love-hate resistance.
Yeah.
Back when crack came, all the elder, and this is what young people don't understand, they say, well, Joe Biden, and he passed the crime bill back in the 90s. These young people don't understand that my grandmama loved Joe Biden and Clinton for passing those laws because crack had taken over the neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
and they wanted the and the police couldn't do anything if this guy who just got out of jail was back on the street selling crack. So the crime bill was a three strike and you're out type of situation. So the elderly black folks loved the police for that. But then they come to find out, hey, they arrested my grandson. Right? And so I don't know, I don't mean to dominate that. Yeah. But there's a love and there was all there's always a love, been hate,
yeah.
a love hate relationship.
Yeah.
And the community policing hopefully balances that yes. out some.
Yes. And we have to, especially as pastors, I think.
Right.
Because the church traditionally, going back to what you were saying back in the day, used to be the cornerstone of the community.
Yes.
Even for those that didn't even go to church, mm-hmm. that was a place that was safe. It's a place where you yes. had community meetings outside of just religious activities. We need to kind of take back that type of responsibility. And again, back to what we're doing.
Well, with your uncle, Robert Sherman, was very involved.
Yes.
In the community.
What was that church on?
On Putnam.
Putnam, yes.
Putnam and
the stone. It's still there, actually.
Yeah, it's still there.
As we're drawing to the end, I think we could probably go on another half an hour to our time together today. Mm-hmm. The question would be, what do you think your legacy currently is, and what would you like for it to be?
Well, I'm just an average guy. I'm what you call average Joe. I tried, you know, I've made mistakes in my life, mm-hmm. Bevan, always as a Christian.
Yeah.
We fall down, but we get up.
Yes.
And I thank God for his forgiveness mm-hmm. and his grace, because otherwise I would have been disqualified.
Yes.
You know, I thank God. I'd say this in church and even in leading people, because people are broken mm-hmm. for so many reasons. So many reasons. There's none perfect. None are good but the Father.
That's right.
And other than by his grace and mercy are we saved. And mm-hmm. his Holy Spirit, if we let it, will lead us. And if we don't let it lead us, it'll heal us. And so my legacy, mm-hmm. I'm a good prime example of that. Mm-hmm. I just, if I can say, I just want to go back with the Lord when he comes.
Yes.
I be in the grave or I be left, you know, standing mm-hmm. when he comes. That's my hope. Mm-hmm. My legacy to my children, I want to give them an example of a man that have made mistakes. I haven't made like real bad, serious mistakes. They haven't gone to prison or anything. I never did drugs, thank God. I drank alcohol, but I never to any extreme. Mm-hmm. But I thank God for saving me, changing me over the course mm-hmm. of time, and forgiving me. Mm-hmm. I can say I'm a forgiven man.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for joining us for the Voices of Legacy today. We hope that your testimony is going to be a blessing. We know that it will be to those that hear it. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us. WDTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.